Hello, everyone. This is Patricia Corey. Welcome to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think out of the box of convention and fly in the free thought zone. And that is what we intend to do every week, and we bring you some of the most outrageous, liberated minds to help share their viewpoints on just how to do that. And before we get started with my guest tonight, I want to remind you, I am now at the last minute for sign-ups for the Crop Circle Tour. I've got two places left. If you're interested, you've got to get in touch with me at patcorey@tiscali.it. Okay, tonight I have with me a wonderful person I've just met over the phone. He's a kindred spirit. His name is Alan. I hope I pronounce it right. Arcieri.
Exactly.
He's a medium, a metaphysical teacher, a consultant, a lecturer, and a new author. And he's got a book out entitled Earth School 101, which I was attracted to. And he's here to talk to us about the book, which has a subtitle of Who Are We and Why Are We Here? Which I think are two of the most important questions we're all asking ourselves now. So, Alan, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on the show.
It's an honor to have you. Tell us a little bit about your background before we get into the actual information on the book.
Sure.
How long ago? How did you start? I'm always interested in knowing when people really awaken.
Well, I started really very young, actually, connecting with, or hearing voices, rather, on the other side. I was born and raised Catholic, so I really didn't understand exactly who this was and what was going on, and it left me in a quandary for a while, until I met my spiritual teacher back in 1980. Her name is Michelle Delman, and she introduced me to metaphysics, and meditation and spirituality, and helped me to tune into these voices and actually hone the skills I was born with. And actually, to be honest with you, I think we're all born with them. It's just I was learned how to get in control of them, how to use them, how to hone them, rather. And so today I'm a medium, a spiritual medium, and I connect with departed family, friends, and loved ones on the other side, as well as other beings as well.
And can you tune in to who's left me on, who's on the other side listening in to our conversation from my side?
There's a number of people listening in to our conversation right now. One is an older female figure that's either a mother or a grandmother energy. And I honestly feel like it's a grandmother on the other side. So you have a grandmother over there?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I feel. I just feel that there's, first of all, I feel like she's also had the ability to, intuitive ability, psychic ability. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel there's a very strong spiritual connection between you and her. All right. Now, I don't know if she's been over there for a long time, but I feel like she's watching over you a lot. Okay. She's with another figure that's a male on the other side. And this one, I feel, is a father figure. So I've got two people over there. Now, your grandmother's over there, correct?
You're really describing my mother more than my grandmother.
Okay, all right. On the other side?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. You have a father figure over there also?
Uh-huh.
All right. Was your mother very neat and particular about how she looked? And how she kept her hair.
Yeah.
And how she...
Her hair was a big issue.
Okay, because she's bringing this
up. that's a real connection, you know, for me, because she was just, you know, her hair was her biggest battle, let's say.
All right, okay. Well, she's coming through with beautiful hair now, so she finally got it under control. At any rate, I just want you to know that even though you were younger than her biologically, I feel like you're an older soul. I'm not saying you're better than her. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel like she's, I know she's your mom, but but I feel like, you know, almost sisters in a way. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like in a best friend way. Well, she's watching over you big time with a father figure who's more quiet and standing off to the corner. Now, I don't know if he was like that in life, you know, but I feel like your mother was the one that was in control or pretty much took over or tried to be in control, okay? But
yeah.
I've got a father figure over there standing like, he's just making me feel like you can count on me, you can lean on me. Do you understand that?
Well, it's a little hard to relate that to the father in my life, but I'd like to think that...
Was he around you a lot?
Sorry?
Was he around you a lot?
Was he?
In other words, did he not spend a lot of time around you?
No.
Okay, because he's making me feel if he could do this over again, he would spend more time with you. I'm not saying he didn't love you, but I'm just not getting that closeness or the nurturing in a way that you would have needed him or wanted him to be on this side. Because he's saying to me, or wants you to know, that he's giving to you from the other side what he would have, could have, should have given you on this side. All right?
Huh. Okay.
Okay. And he's
that
with your
good.
Mom. And he's with your mother. Okay?
Poor mother.
In a way they may not have been here. But you also know that whatever goes on this side is not necessarily the same way it is on the other side.
Sure.
You understand that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because they're both making me feel like... Whose birthday is it, Pat?
Whose birthday is it?
Yeah, it's a birthday right around now.
My mother.
She showed me the birthday. Okay.
It's the 14th of July.
Yeah, there you go. Well, they celebrate the birthdays over there.
Well, is she cool? She's having fun?
Absolutely. More fun than we are. We're the ones at school.
Yeah, that's what I always tell everyone. Well, thank
you
for that.
You're the ones that are at home. She's making a big deal about being with your grandmother, though. Did he not get along in life?
She was
or has your grandmother been over there for a long time?
Well, I'll just tell you about my grandmother, okay? Someone once told me that I came from a long line of witches, and she was a black witch, and I'm a white witch.
Okay. Well, she's with your grandmother also over there, and in a way she may not have been here. Okay, I just want to give it to you that way.
You mean my mom?
Yeah, your mom.
She's got
the back
of her.
Mom is with her mother. Your mom is with your mother on the other side. In a way she may not have been here.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
As long as she's married, that's all that matters.
If they were butting heads all the time, you know, or whatever the case may be, but they've made peace over there. And do you know somebody who died at war? You know
died
somebody?
At war?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I've got a male on the other side who died a long time ago. I feel like this is around a wall. And the wall
around
came down.
A wall?
Yeah. Something about a wall that came down, a stone wall that came down. I don't know how it came down, but I feel like there was a lot of chaos, a lot of action all around. I'm getting it was like a war zone. You don't understand that at all, huh?
No.
Not even outside the family? Write it down. Doesn't matter. You'll get it later.
Okay.
Get
a wall, a war,
yeah.
And a man.
Yeah, a man who died a long time ago. I feel like he's older than you generation-wise, but possibly younger than you, okay? So that means he died young a long time ago, okay? I feel, actually, that, you know, I can't tell if it's your parents' generation or your grandparents' generation.
Well, my mom had a brother who died when he was young.
All right.
But he died from a burst appendix.
Okay. Well, she met up with him, but I've got somebody else over there who died in a war. It may not be a relative. Do you have anybody here you could talk to?
No, but I'll think about it. Maybe it'll come to me in my dream.
Okie doke. There you go.
Thank you for this information. This is very exciting. Do you do this usually for people on the phone? Do you do sessions for
Yeah, all the time. Most of my
clients. Great. So how do people get in touch with you if they want a session? I'm sure I know a few people that would love to...
Well, they would, you know, you can go to my website, which is Alan
Arcieri. You
want to
give the people the website, please?
Yeah, it's alanarcieri.com. alanarci.com. It's alanarcierei.com. And it's all like one word, no spaces. And my phone number is there. It's area code 239-772-5560.
Oh, you're courageous giving out your phone number.
Yeah, well, that's okay. They'll call. I've got guards.
Well, thank you for that brief reassurance, because my mom passed, and she does occasionally bleed in, but I'm just always happy to know she's doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're dealing with those old souls there, young old souls.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you know, the best part of the readings are the things that you don't know at the time that you find out about later. That happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's such a gift that you're dealing with this level, because so many people are, a lot of people are dying at the moment, yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've got a rash of right now. Suicides.
Yeah.
A lot of young suicides lately.
I know. And this is what you feel about it. I'm glad you brought that up. This has come up in a couple of interviews, and I'm always interested to know how you interpret what happens to the soul when the individual chooses to suicide.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, organized religion tells us that they go to hell, and that's just not true. People who commit suicide don't go to hell. They come from hell. That's why they commit suicide. And when they do go home to the light, okay, they're met by angels or beings of light, of unconditional love and compassion, who take them to a place of separation where they can regain their composure, unpack their bags of unfinished business and chaos. Oftentimes they spend that time with pets. Animals have a calming effect. And once they get centered, they get to go through their life review. And they sit down with their spirit guides, and they get to see the life they would have had had they not committed suicide. And then they get to feel the emotional impact that their action had on everyone here. Okay, but it's not a final judgment, it's a life review. Then they get reunited with their soul group until it's time for them to come back. And in their very next life, they have to come back and be faced with the same exact situation all over again, often harder. So suicide is a waste of time. There is no escape, okay? But they do not go to hell. Other suicides may not go home to the light. They may stay here as earthbound souls for a while, often confused or afraid of a final judgment where they'll be sent to hell. You know, all darkness and all evil or anything like that is all born of ignorance, okay? The less we know, the more we know, rather, about the spirit world, the more loving and compassionate and forgiving it becomes. The less we know about the spirit world, the more frightening and fearful and angry it becomes.
Well, definitely, especially as you said with religion, the creating a complete power system where as long as you believe you're guilty, they've got you.
Exactly, and that's why I wrote my book, because I faced with that every single day. I mean, there's so many people who won't come to see me because they're afraid you know, they're going to go to hell, or this is the work of the devil. And you know, that's such middle-age thinking mentality. And we've got to move out of the Middle Ages and into the 21st century.
Yeah, it's the Dark Age mentality.
Exactly. You know, but people buy into that still.
Well, especially now, we see that religion is used as a political device to separate people. And never like now, I think, at least in our memory, have we seen people divided so fiercely by religion? And
yeah, well, you know,
sects,
we really...
It's not just Catholics or Christians against Muslims. It's just
right.
Sects of each religion against each other because it's being instrumentalized.
Right. And all wars, all countries that fight each other are fighting for God and country. You know,
exactly.
So, I mean, even the Nazis had belt buckles that said, you know, God mit uns, which means God with us, you know, over a swastika. You know, so, I mean, it's crazy, you know.
Well, George Bush, God told him to attack Iraq.
Yeah, right, and kill you, you know, and take all your stuff. No, it's absolutely insane.
That is really bizarre. I mean, when you think about the President of the United States saying, God told me to kill to attack Iraq, and people still don't wake up, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, we as individuals have responsibilities to wake up, okay? You know, we can't save the world individually. We can only save ourselves. But if enough people do wake up, we can help save the world collectively. You know, and it's just a matter of being awake. Awake from the dream, from the illusion that we're separate and apart, because we're not. We're all individual expressions of the same divine source. We're all one. We're all branches on the same tree. You know,
you know,
so
it's
when we hurt each other,
we have so
ourselves.
Many metaphors that are so similar. And for those who are listening, Alan and I have just met on the phone. We're exchanging books, and I know that we're going to even have a laugh at how we express the same ideas, because, as you said in our earlier conversation, truth is truth.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
it's
but
very
we,
exciting.
The information is available, affordable, you know, and it's just the only person stopping us from learning what is really happening, getting closer to the truth, is us. You know, and there's some phenomenal books that are out there, wonderful movies and DVDs, you know, that have come out in the last, you know, 15 years or so, that'll help take you a quantum leap forward in understanding death, dying, and the spirit world. And so what I did was, I took 28 years I've been doing this work. I compiled all of this information and knowledge and wisdom from 28 years, and I put it into a simple, organized, a simple, easy-to-read book. And I, you know, even though it's simple and easy to read, it's very spiritually potent. And I use a lot of metaphors in there because it's easy to understand simple metaphors, you know, deep spiritual truths by using simple metaphors.
Are you talking about Earth School number 101, or are you talking about a new book?
Yep, that book, Earth School 101.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, okay, it took me 28 years to compile the information, 3 years to write it, and I rewrote it 15 times to get it just right, okay? And what it is Earth School 101, it's not about me. You know, it's about some of my experiences, okay? But it's more about why we're here, okay? It talks about reincarnation and the fact that we do come back. We come back over and over and over again. See, there's three main lessons that we come here to learn. One is love, not just the joy and pleasure of love, but the pain of love as well, because love is a diamond with many facets. Number two, we're here to learn about forgiveness, and the first person we need to forgive is ourselves. Three, we're here to learn how to overcome fear. And we can't learn these three lessons in one lifetime. So we come back as male, female, tall, short, rich, poor, healthy, sick, weak, strong, all different cultures, all different dynamics in order to learn the many lessons we need to learn in order to grow and evolve spiritually. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about reincarnation and all references to reincarnation were edited out of the Bible in the 4th century by church leaders who said that it afforded mankind too ample a stage to gain salvation. So they created the myth of one life to live and heaven and hell in order to create a sense of urgency so that man would think if he lived good, he'd go to heaven forever, and if he was bad, he'd go to hell forever.
Right, and to commit humankind to obedience.
Right, exactly. Fear and guilt are powerful tools that organized religion uses to control people, okay? Get this. Hell was never mentioned once in the Old Testament. Suddenly, out of nowhere, hell appears in the New Testament, okay? And get this. During Jesus' time, they would never have known the concept of original sin. During Jesus' time, it was known as the original blessing of life. It was only turned into a sin during the New Testament, okay? So all of a sudden, we're born sinners. We're going to burn in hell forever if we don't watch out. It's all made up, okay? All made up. The problem is, they took away Jesus' humanity and they took away our divinity. They made it seem like Jesus was born walking on water and we're born sinners, okay? But it would never have been fair for God to have sent down his son, Jesus, walking on water. You know, that would be like us applauding a college graduate for getting an A-plus on a first-grade test. Okay, well, it's not fair. Jesus had to have been human. He had to have felt all the emotions, all the desires, and all the heavy sense of the feeling of separation and loss that we feel here on earth. And what he did was, he became the Christ. So Jesus said, he's the Son of God. And he is the Son of God, but he also said...
He also said, so are we all.
Yes. Jesus said, not only these works you can do, but even greater than these works you can do. So if we can do greater works than he can do, what does that make us? That makes us all the Son. Right. And then he also said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And what do you mean by that? He meant, know your true relationship with the Creator, and you'll be free from all the fear, the guilt, the myth, and superstition.
Exactly.
That's why he had to die.
And also because, of course, he was a revolutionary, and the church knew that. We just talked about this last week on my last show. The church knew that he was a problem. So they had to snuff him, and then they had to make a myth out of it so that they could utilize his strength, his light, for their own purposes.
Right, exactly. You're exactly right. You know, so Jesus was talking about self-empowerment, and they're not interested in self-empowering the congregation.
Exactly.
Self-empowered people don't need the church.
That's the clue.
So that's bad
it's
for
just
them.
Like now, we need the government to protect us. It's the same formula, right?
Right. They're the toll collectors to heaven. They say, get in the back seat, fill up the collection plate, and we'll drive you to heaven. You know, and Jesus was talking about getting into the driver's seat and taking yourself there.
Right.
It's pretty wild, huh? And then
I remember seeing a funny little TV show. I don't remember the name of the show, but you remember Cheech and Chong from the old days?
Oh, sure, of course.
Okay, well, Chong is sitting in the church. He's brought to the church because some people want him to join in the church and experience what it's like. And he goes, far out, man. They even give out money. Because when the basket comes around, he takes the money out.
I remember.
That just cracked me up.
So funny.
But we're getting off the track with that.
Hey.
I'd like to go back to the question of suicide, because your interpretation is very positive, and it's a little bit different than most of the people that I've shared this question with.
Sure.
Saying, usually the answer is you fall back on the wheel of karma because you refuse the life and you've got to go through it again, and it's more difficult than the one before. So you don't
exactly.
agree with
I
that,
agree
do
with
you?
That.
You do?
Yeah, but we also go through a review. This way we know where we messed up.
So we got to come back and do it again, and it's a little bit harder.
Absolutely.
All of this school.
And you I can do it again and again, you know, just...
Until you get it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what are you hearing from the families of these young people that are committing suicide?
The survivors are the real victims of suicide, not the people who commit suicide.
Yeah, they're just...
And most of the suicides I connect with on the other side have a deep sense of sorrow and regret for having committed suicide. And actually, most of them never really knew how much they were loved. But you see, this is the deal. There is no final, you know, judgment, okay? It's a life review that we go through instead of a final judgment after death. And we get to see where we did really good in life and where we could have done a whole lot better. We feel the joy and the pain that our words and actions caused other people in a way we could never have known when we were here, okay? Again, it's not a final judgment, but it is a life review. Do you know who the harshest critic is on that panel?
Yourself.
We are. We are.
Sure.
And when we go through that review, we don't regret so much the things we did when we were here, as opposed to the things we did not do. So they're really not the same energies they are when they were here, when I communicate with them from the other side.
I can imagine the torment of a soul that looks back and sees the suffering of the people that
oh,
left
yeah.
Behind.
Oh, yeah.
It's just too heavy.
Actually, we all go through it. No matter what, you know, and we've been here many, many times. We come back over and over and over again.
Okay, I've got to interrupt you and ask you a question now. I have a friend whose son passed away 4 years ago, and she's still in deep, deep grief. and can't let go. And I'd like to talk about, my impressions were that he was begging for her to let go so he could get on with what he had to do. I'd like to ask you, feel about that when someone just holds the soul in some sort of an astral cord, for lack of a better expression. What's going on?
Yeah. You know, it's been my experience that they can't do that, okay? But they can. Let me put it this way. When we die, we go right into the fourth dimension, the astral plane, okay? From the astral plane, we're supposed to go into the light, okay? Some souls don't go into light. They stay here. They're earthbound, okay? And sometimes a soul will stay behind and not go into the light to help soothe someone's grieving. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, but all souls, from what I understand, will eventually, all spirit guides will come eventually and take the souls, call the souls back home again into the light. But, she could not keep him here. He is using his free will to stay here, or he could use his free will to go home. But she can't keep him here. And then that's when you'd have to get together with the family, you know, and send him into the light. Tell him it's okay. He can come back later. You see, the souls that stay here, the earthbounds, they're ghosts. The
this one doesn't want to be here. It's the mother who is just, you know, she's immortalized him and...
I know many people like that. The best thing that she could do is send him home to the light.
I know. I'm trying to help her do that. Any suggestions?
Yeah. And you can also talk to him. He can go home to the light. He's not stuck here. She can't make him stay. That's not my experience. She cannot make him stay.
Right, but her grief is making him stay close.
Yeah. Well, then, he needs to be told he can go home and come back. Anyone who goes home to the light and comes back is a spirit. So there's a difference between ghosts and spirits, okay, just so you know. And we have ghosts around us all the time. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
But we also have spirits around us, too. And, you know, they don't experience time the way we experience time either. You know, so you hear about a ghost that hangs around a castle for 500 years, you might say, hey, doesn't this guy have anything better to do than hang around a castle for 500 years? But, you know, to us it's 500 years, but to him it may only be a couple of hours or a few minutes. You know what I mean?
I do.
Longer.
I'm going to interrupt you because I have a feeling some people are going to want to call in on this. So if you'd like to call in and see what Alan has to tell you about your loved ones, the toll-free number in the States is 877-876-5227. USA and Canada... toll-free 888-815-9756. And if you're not in the U.S. or Canada, there's one more line, which is a direct line, 530-876-3222. And if you didn't get those in time, you can go on the bbsradio.com website, and you'll find the Station 1 phone numbers for call-in, and you'll get in to speak to Alan. And for those of you that are just coming on now, I'm speaking with Alan Arcieri, a gifted medium. We're talking about the other side and what it's like to pass over. Very interesting, very emotional for some of us information. But he's wonderful. His book is Earth. Where is it? Earth School 101. It should be Earth School and Other Dimensions School.
Well, that's, I got my next
All right. You talk about in your material, you talk about why are people afflicted with tragedy and illness?
Okay.
So many people say, this
why is there so much suffering here? Why do we see our love?
Why is there so much suffering? And, of course, the obvious answer is people choose to do this because it's part of their... the karma that they've got to learn.
Yeah, you know, actually it all goes back to Earth being a school, okay? And we're here to learn spiritual lessons. And when we see our loved ones suffer and we are there for them and help them, you know, move forward and make their transition, okay? On one level, yes, it is suffering, an almost senseless suffering. But on a higher level, there's a divine order behind all of this. In other words, you know, when we are able to help our loved ones move forward through a terminal illness, it provides us the opportunity to learn about unconditional love, compassion, patience, charity, sacrifice, forgiveness, and all these things that are easy to say and hard to do. If we didn't have these opportunities, then we would never learn those priceless lessons, okay? So on a higher level, it's something we benefit from knowing the cold that makes us appreciate the warmth, from knowing hunger that makes us appreciate having plenty. So we don't know it at this level, but on a higher level, there's a divine order behind all of this. Not that we're here to suffer, but the other thing is this, and keep this in mind. And we take our young children to go get their shots to the doctors. We know that we're doing them a great service. But to the young child, we're taking them someplace they don't want to go to see people they don't want to see who are going to stick needles in them and make them cry. Do you understand? We're like those children here. All right? Mm-hmm. There's something much greater going on. And the antagonist in our life, the people who cause us the most stress and anxiety, usually the people closest to us, are our teachers, and they teach us to have courage and strength and wisdom and patience and tolerance and forgiveness. And again, all these things that are easy to say and hard to do. So they're in our life by design. And one of my favorite sayings is, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. And that's why we're here, to learn to become skillful sailors. So the problems and obstacles aren't here to stop us. They're here to help us grow. And when we have a big enough challenge in front of us, it brings out powers and abilities and strength we never knew we had.
We don't do too much when the waters are calm. I mean, we all aspire to the paradise concept.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Try to sit on a beach for 3 days with nothing but water and beautiful coconut trees, and you blow your brains out. And so these things that occur, we create to give ourselves something to do, to work on.
Exactly, which is why we volunteer to come here. You know, we can't experience cold at home. We can't experience these things at home. You know, we can only experience them here. And that's why we volunteer to come here. We are not forced to come here. So the other thing is this. We choose our mothers and our fathers, our sisters and brothers. We even choose the bodies we're born into, for the unique lessons those dynamics will provide before we come here. So we're not victims. We're volunteers, okay? And we can't point our fingers at anyone and say, because of this or these people, I'm this way, because we chose it, okay?
And, help people understand that they are the decision makers for this, it's so empowering. This is also my work, trying to help people understand that they're responsible for their... for everything, the whole committee of people that are in their lives, they've selected for lessons they need to learn. And even if those choices seem like the worst possible reality, they did it because they had a contract, they knew what they were doing when they came in. And when you can empower people with taking responsibility for that, you really help people.
That's why we were given a free will, so this can be heaven or this can be hell, depending on our choices and decisions. So if you want to see your best friend, go look in the mirror. You want to see your worst enemy? Go look in the mirror. The choice is ours.
What do you think is going on with people who have Alzheimer's? You mentioned this in your documentation.
Alzheimer's. Well, okay. First of all, when we're born, we enter the body through the top of the head, through the crown chakra. When we die, we exit out through the top of the head. People with Alzheimer's, dementia, coma, Parkinson's are slowly leaking out through the top of their head. So they hover over the body and they see everything that's being done. They hear everything that's being said. So it's important to stay positive around them, even though they may not be able to respond. And
they're
at the
leaking
end, the last
out?
Word, what's that?
You said they're leaking out?
Leaking out. Okay. Their soul
that's
is
very
slowly
interesting way to describe it.
Leaking out, okay. And in that, and at the end, the last 1 or 2% of their spiritual energy slips out, and they're home. So they were actually home before they go home. And as a matter of fact, I've had many readings with people who are in late-stage Alzheimer's on the other side, and yet they're sitting in a nursing home somewhere in New Jersey. Their body is, anyway, because they're already home.
Wow.
Pretty wild. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, but I don't want you to think they're stuck in the room. They're not stuck there. They could travel. Yeah, mm-hmm. They are. The body can be in New Jersey, but they can go to Jamaica if they want, or to Italy. They could travel with you back home. Yep.
How can you help the people in your work for the families of people that are suffering from Alzheimer's, if that's the case?
And what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Spirit?
You know, I get messages from the people who have Alzheimer's and the people that they're with on the other side to let the families know that they're okay. See, there's an epidemic of Alzheimer's going on. You don't really hear about it as much as other diseases. And it's sort of like robs your loved one. Their bodies here, healthy bodies here, but it steals away your loved one. And you feel so helpless. There's not much you can do. You almost have to, you just got to like put them in a nursing home. And it just gives people relief to know that they're safe at home with
their
family.
Do you have any sense metaphysically for why there are so many people with this?
Why? I think it has something to do with food additives, not exclusively. And I think that we're spraying our plants, we're feeding animals that we eventually ingest, and I think that that has something to do with it. But I'm not an academic, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist. That's not my
No, I wasn't asking you from that point of view. I was just thinking that, because I really find it very fascinating that you said that they're leaking out. And was wondering, can this have something to do with the shift that's going on the planet, the energies that are...
I think everything is all interconnected.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that are happening. Everything's coordinated, let's put it that way. And there are no accidents and there are no coincidences, okay? There's always going to be a crisis and chaos preceding our next evolutionary step forward. And we're going through a cleansing process now because the world is in crisis. So there's a collective consciousness that we're all part of, too. And everything that's happening is being orchestrated on the higher levels. It's actually too much for any individual to completely comprehend. I really don't get, tied down with any of that stuff. I just surrender it all, to mm-hmm. the Creator.
Well, but it is interesting when you see, for example, the whole, this created oil crisis.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating. While people are just in panic over the fact that they can't afford to put gas in the car, how we are being, in a sense, forced by reality to finally get serious about green, about finding alternatives.
I can't help but
wonder if it's just because humankind just doesn't seem to get the picture unless we are just completely to the limit.
Yeah, and I think that's it.
I think that's it, too. Because I'm trying to give people a positive outlook on, look at what's happening while this foolishness is going on with the oil, how rapidly the alternative things are finally coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that, yes, there is a divine plan, even though, we have to go through our little steps, our little discomfort zone. But
sure.
To see the big picture is, what was it going to take, as long as we were fat cats sitting in our Mercedes, when would we have gotten globally aware of how important it is to move now? So this is a very positive development, even though it looks so negative.
Exactly. But, we can't see the big picture. We can't see the future so clearly, or as clear as we can see the past. So,
but on the other hand, we can contemplate it, and by doing that, we can diminish the suffering and help the planet rebound.
Exactly, as we move forward through this transition.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think it's going to have to get darker and tougher before it gets better.
Until we get it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
The only thing that concerns me is, how long is it going to take to get it? Because this poor planet is really rocking and rolling.
Well, I will tell you this, though, okay? You have to have a strong spiritual foundation to stand on. in order to survive it, okay? In order to just have a very strong spiritual ship that you can float on, do you understand, while this whole thing is transition is happening. People that don't, they're not going to be able to survive it. You know, not that they're going to die so far, but there's going to be a lot more stress, a lot more chaos. You know,
and they're getting into some pretty strange behaviors.
We have to really raise to a higher level. The level of consciousness that created this mess is not capable of repairing it. So we have to raise our level of consciousness in order to find the answers that we need in order to keep the planet and our and humanity moving forward. You know, otherwise, you know, we're facing extinction. And extinction is not an option. So we have to make evolutionary step.
Well, you did hear that they can grow NASA is saying that it looks like they can grow asparagus in Martian soil.
What was that again?
NASA has announced that the quality of the soil on Mars is good enough to grow asparagus on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did hear about that.
Isn't that a gas?
Yeah, that is.
Pretty soon we're going to be also introduced to the reality that they probably are already growing asparagus there.
Exactly. They know a lot more than they say. You know what NASA stands for? Never a straight answer.
I like it. Indeed.
You know, the other...
One more big question I've got for you is you say you are very involved in quantum physics, and of course this is a field that interests me as well.
Sure.
It's laced through all of my work. And how quantum physics intersects with spirit, especially now where science and metaphysics are crossing. Can you speak to some of the discoveries that you highlight in your book?
Sure. You know, I really got very interested in the science of spirituality and how I'm able to do what I do with talking to the other side. And science has discovered that everything is energy. Even the solid floor we're standing on is made up of subatomic particles whirling at lightning speed. Your energy, I'm energy. Everything we see in the material world is actually on a subatomic level photons of light energy. There is nothing solid actually on a subatomic level. The spirit world is in a very high vibrational field of energy. We can't see the way we can't see radio waves, and we can't hear the way we can hear a dog whistle. It's outside of our range of reception. Just because we can't see and hear the spirit world doesn't mean it doesn't exist, okay? Through meditation, I have a meditation ritual that I use. I'm able to raise my vibrational frequencies up high enough to communicate with spiritual beings that lower their vibrations low enough, and we meet in a sort of a space, so to speak, for a short period of time, and we exchange, we communicate through a language of energy.
Okay, hold on, Alan. We've got a caller on the line. Let's see who's calling. Please announce yourself. Who's on the line?
This is Robert in California.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Okay, we've been told that there's a caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, but can you not hear me?
Yes, not Alan. Hello?
Hello, this is Robert.
All right, well, caller, you haven't gotten through, apparently, so please call back. We still have time for you to ask Alan some questions. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, so I'm able to raise my vibrations up high enough to communicate with them through a language of energy, so to speak.
Oh, here we go again. Okay, caller. Can you hear me? Come on. Well, we've got a caller trying to come through. Maybe it's a spirit from the other side.
Yeah, you never know.
It very well could be. Okay, Alan, please. Sorry to keep cutting you off, but I do hear the signal that a caller is on the line, and I would love people to have the opportunity to talk to you.
Sure. Oh, should I keep talking?
You keep trying, and we'll see if we have to interrupt you again.
Okay. I'll tell you something else that the theoretical physicists know. Theoretical physicists know for a fact that we don't live in a universe, that we live in a multiverse. One universe on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. Each one occupies the same space.
Your guest is there.
They don't interfere with
each other. Okay, we've got the guest back on. Hold on, Alan.
Hello? Can I hear you?
Okay, great. Please, what's your name?
My name is Robert in Scotts Valley, California.
Oh, hey! I know this guy. Robert, what's your question?
How are you, Patrice?
I'm great. Bob, this is my brother.
Yes.
What's your question? You have a question for
I had
Alan,
a question.
Bob?
I had a question for Alan, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm fascinated by your commentary about reincarnation, and when the conversation swung around to the problems that we have in this earth, and of course we've been discussing and dealing with symptoms of the problem. I'm a big believer that overpopulation is the core issue, and we're facing potentially 50% more people in the next 30 years, etc. As it relates back to your earlier comments of reincarnation, if Earthlings are coming back and have been here before, how do you account for the new souls and new people that are being created as being supplemented by the people who are returning?
Actually, that brings a good point. Yes, excellent question. Actually, new souls are being created all the time. And you have to understand also that we are not exclusively Earth inhabitants. We're not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human experience, okay? So a lot of the souls, some of the souls, are hybrid. Okay, they come from other star systems as well. See, we live in a community, okay?
Oh, okay.
So there's a vast resource for souls.
You see, Bob, there are more people that think like me than you know.
Well, I'm telling you.
So,
well, I appreciate
Bob,
that.
I look forward to buying your book. Are you talking about will there be this contribute to the overpopulation crisis? Is your point right?
I didn't hear you. Were you addressing that question to me?
I was addressing a question to you. My question to you was: so your point is that with all this influx of additional souls constantly returning, how does this measure up with the question of overpopulation?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is it, too. You have to understand there's something much larger going on here. Okay, there are no accidents. There are no coincidences, okay? So if we have to suffer, or if we're suffering from overpopulation, there's lessons mm-hmm. being learned, lessons being taught, okay? And on many different levels, you know, that revolve around that, it's much greater than we're able to actually comprehend
mm-hmm.
because we can't see the big picture. We don't know what's coming to completion here. We don't know karmically what's happening.
Yeah.
I want to talk about karma, too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing to remember is that there are a lot of stations in the universe or the multiverse that are thriving planets just like ours. You've got Michio Kaku, a famous physicist, who talks about the fact that we have parallel universes. We could very well have the exact replica of the Earth at a different time span, another place on the timeline at another point in the universe. We're just starting to really discover how vast, how incredibly multidimensional our existence is, and perhaps this is one of the biggest moments for humankind.
Well, maybe that's a great upside, that if there are other planets, we will be the recipient of more enlightened people, and conversely, some of our folks who have learned some things here will pass that on to other places as well.
Well, I think that in our lifetime we're gonna know, because it looks as things are accelerating every day now with visions of sightings of craft over the states, over the world. I think we're gonna have some pretty interesting communication happening very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're here. They've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and the last thing they want to see, I feel, you know, is us destroy this planet.
And another thing to consider is that this might not be, we're so attached to this planet because it's all we know, but it's not said that this is the best place.
Yes.
There may be other planets that are in much more harmonious, much more evolved than this one.
Yeah,
let's hope so.
Yeah, we have nothing to compare it with, though.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. And people, heaven forbid that they should cease to attempt to be good stewards if they're thinking that in the afterlife they can go someplace else.
Right, so true. And also the question of the savior idea of, well, we've trashed this planet, let's hopefully find somewhere else we can go trash. The lessons
mm-hmm.
have to be learned.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, very good. Nice
Did
talking
you
with you
ask,
both.
Did you want to ask anything about people on the other side? Anyone you want to ask about?
Well, I did not start at the top of the hour. Have you asked him about Mom?
Well, I asked him to tell me who he senses on the other side, and he did talk about Mom. But you can ask him if there's anyone else you'd like to know about besides Mom.
I'd love to know about my father, David Corey.
Your dad on the other side, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's with your mom. He's with your mom.
That is not surprising.
Yeah. He comes off as someone who's not speaking a lot, but stands there and observes more. Like this strong, silent type, do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's forgiveness issues revolving around his relationships with people that were close to him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
I'm not sure. You half broke up a little bit. And I didn't turn my volume down, and I had some background noise from the seven-second delay on the show.
All I know is I don't know if your father was able to express his emotions to you.
Hmm.
To let you get as close to him as you needed him to be or would have wanted him to be. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Because that's the way I feel he was with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I just feel like he's giving you from the other side what he wasn't able to give you from this side, so far as the nurturing is concerned. Do you understand that?
Yes.
But he wants you to know how proud he is of you for the foundation of character and integrity you build your life on. In spite of the fact that you didn't always have someone here to pick you up every time you got knocked down or shoved down or pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So when you think of your dad, think of him in that way, all right?
I will.
And do you know who David is?
David, my brother, yes.
Okay, living?
Yes.
Could you give him a big hug from Dad?
I will.
All right, thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you very much.
Well,
thanks, bro.
All right, take care.
I have to sign out pretty soon, so thanks for calling
okay.
in. It was a great surprise.
You bet. Take care now.
Take care. Wow, I got shivers with that one. Alex?
Yes, I'm here.
I got shivers with that last comment you made because it was very, very right on.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm here in Florida. You're in Italy. He's in California.
Yeah.
And yet we're all connected. You know,
I know, this is why, you know,
side.
Sometimes and we've got the other side coming in too. This is Beyond Technology. It would be a great title for a new book.
Yeah. I love it. That's why I'm so in love with quantum physics, because I can actually communicate with, or talk to an academic about the spirit world. The minute they start getting defensive with me, like, this is a bunch of baloney, you know, I just talk about quantum physics, and I pull the rug right out from underneath them. None of them can argue with me. So
yeah, I think more and more scientists and academicians, if there is such a word, are really coming around now. It's a very exciting time, and sometimes I know I'm an old metaphysician, and I feel like it's about time, but on the other hand, it's a joy that it's finally happening right on line with all of the evolution that we're going through now.
Absolutely. So it's a really wonderful time to be alive.
Oh, it is. And, you know, we're going to close with that concept because time is just about out. It is a wonderful time to be alive. and you chose to be here for this, no matter how shaky your world is, how grim the forecasts are, you chose to be here. You had a mission. Always remember that. Be in your power. You agree?
Absolutely. Thank you
for
having me.
Well, with that message, Alan, I'm going to have to say goodnight, although, wow, it just flew by like minutes.
Yeah, we could do this again sometime.
We're going to do this again, absolutely. In the meantime, I want to remind everyone that you've been listening to a wonderful medium and metaphysician. His name is Alan Arcieri. He's got a new book out. It's called Earth 101.
Why am I buying it on Amazon.com?
Right, on Amazon.com, Earth School 101. Please give us your website again, Alan.
AlanArcieri.com. It's just my name, all one word, AlanArcieri.com.
Okay, and you're going to want to get the book, and you're going to, you know, it's a real opportunity if you've got people on the other side and you need to connect.
Yeah,
Alan does private readings. And this is a wonderful opportunity. So you can reach him through the site. Earlier he gave you his phone number. Get his book. Support this man. He's doing wonderful work. And Alan, you have all the love. Thank you for honoring me for coming on the show tonight. And you will be definitely coming back, right?
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. That's it for today. Remember, you've been listening to Beyond the Matrix, the program that dares you to get out of the box of convention. And we certainly have done that tonight. Stay tuned. We've got some really fabulous people coming up in the weeks ahead. Tell your friends. Let people tune in and share the wisdom that comes from these wonderful people who come to talk to me. Don't forget also my books are The Syrian Revelations. If you haven't read them, please consider that by going to www.SyrianRevelations.net. That's it. Thank you so much, and we'll be back together next Thursday. Ciao from Italy.